This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't really know her music that much, except when I was a boy or something.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheebrick with a pass left corner, had open three for the tie. Good! Riley Head knocks down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Pyle dribbling in and a one-handed jam! This place is rocking! And Pyle with 15 as he slams it down with authority!
Everything happening in the sports world.
Could be another one.
Here comes Jake with a left-handed jam! T-Boy, we're rolling here in Salina!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
Steve has a great feel for Lifetime movies, despite 5 minutes ago saying, I don't know what Lifetime movies are.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man in purple again.
You're wearing purple twice
in 2 weeks.
I like this shirt.
It's Mr. Steve Sell, Mr. K-State himself.
Well, don't say that.
He's a part of the Cat Backers Club.
No.
They'll be coming into town here this week. And
no.
Steve will be speaking alongside Bruce Weber and Bill Snyder.
No.
So you won't be doing that?
No. In fact, I just got something in the mail from KU wanting more money from me, from the Alumni Association.
Well, there you go. Well, Steve, we've had lots of fun guests on this summer as we've been talking a lot about the basketball seasons. But this week, we've got a couple of guys in that'll be able to talk some football with us and recap what was a very fun football and basketball seasons. We've got Jace Alexander coming in on Thursday. But today, a very special guest in the future Fort Hays State Tiger, Drew Labertue. Welcome. We're glad to have you in today.
Welcome. Glad to be here.
You got a little break from the golf course, I guess?
Yeah, a little bit.
Not having to play as much. Well, Drew, we want to talk with you a little bit about what was a really fun football season that you got to be a part of, but you also got to be a part of a very fun basketball season as well. First off, what have you been doing this summer since getting done with track season?
Not too much this summer. Working out at Turkey, trying to maintain that course, and then working out in all the other spare time I have pretty much.
And one thing about Drew is something it's kind of, you don't see a lot of anymore, and that's the three-sport athlete. You know, a lot of kids specialize now. They'll specialize in, say, one sport, maybe two sports, but you don't see anybody go from fall to winter to spring. And, of course, Drew in the fall, you know, he's been a three-year player in football, basketball, two-year starter in basketball, and, of course, track. He ran hurdles this spring. You just don't see the three-sport athlete anymore. And I think it's great because I think the more sports you compete in, the more rounded you are. And I've also seen studies where the more sports you compete in, the better are you academically and athletically.
You're pretty good in the classroom, right?
Yeah, try to be anyway.
There you go. Well, Drew, as you look ahead to what you'll be doing this fall on the football field, what are you expecting in terms of what's next for you in the football season?
Most likely this coming fall, redshirt. They redshirt pretty much every freshman that goes up there. And I'll just look to kind of learn the system that they run and try to put on a few pounds just to be able to compete at the Division II level.
And I said to Drew when I saw him walk in, I said, my gosh, it looks like he's about 6'5 now and about 210 pounds. He really looks like he's been working out pretty, you know, working at Turkey Creek. You lift a lot of equipment out there and, you know, do a lot of stuff.
You've got to fix the course when Steve and those guys go out and chop it up.
Well, I am a chopper. No one knows. There's no doubt about that. But Fort Hays State had kind of a Cinderella season this past year. I think they were, 11-1 or something like that. But they have really turned things around. You and I were out there, for football, and boy, have they just got nice facilities out there. Great game, or great place for us to do a game from, and when you stare right across, you see that great indoor facility there. Fort Hays State really has it all going on right now, and their stock is definitely rising.
For sure. They're definitely headed in the right direction and got things going up for them for sure.
Well, Drew, let's talk a little bit about the football season from this past year. And one of the things that I think is kind of forgotten, at least that we don't talk about as much, or at least that I don't think about as much, is that at this time last year, you were still in the thought of maybe being the quarterback for the team. And we knew going into camp that it was going to come down to you or Kyler Hoppus, and you did end up playing a little bit of quarterback by the end of the year, but people kind of forget, too, that you were right there in the mix of that. What were you thinking at this time last year in terms of what the senior season for you would be?
I was just trying to compete. I mean, I knew whichever one of us was quarterback, I mean, we'd both go out and compete and give us a good chance to win. And I do think it helped that Kyler ended up winning it, just not having to play both ways. I mean, we kind of saw that with Buehler. Kind of ran them out of gas having all their guys playing both ways compared to us being able to platoon most of us.
And you did get toward the end of the year, or at least the second half of the season, Coach Pav put some packages in for you. That got to highlight your running ability. I thought you did a great job on read options and you know, running the Wildcat and things like that. But it definitely showed that had you gotten the starting quarterback job, you would have done a fine job. You probably aren't the thrower that Kyler is, but the running, you know, the running aspect, because of your frame, you're very seldom going to be thrown for a loss. I mean, you can stretch and make 3 yards. And I thought it was a great change of pace when you came into the game. And I thought Coach Pav and Matt Sambo, quarterback coach, you guys really did a great job of utilizing that package. And I know that had to be fun for you because you were kind of like you were like a coach on the field on defense from free safety. That gave you a lot of freedom. You got to roam around back there. And anyway, it had to be fun, though, still to get a few reps at quarterback.
Yeah, when they approached me with that idea of that package, I mean, I was all for it. Like you said, it fit my game perfect, and it was fun to go in and just be able to compete on the other side of the ball as well.
And one of the other things that, looking back on it, was very important is that before the Buehler playoff game, you had maybe taken a couple of reps at quarterback in sort of that Wildcat package, but you guys caught them off guard with that. Not only early on in that game, but in overtime, you were a big part of scoring that first touchdown and setting up the infamous Jade play. What were you thinking throughout that game, at least into the overtime? You score the touchdown, you're down one, do you kick the extra point, do you go for two? What was going through your mind in the huddle leading up to that Jade play?
Right after.
Well, you weren't on the field for that, were you?
Not. I scored, and then I wasn't on the field for Jade.
Right.
Right after I scored, though, I came up, and I was all for going for two. I actually put up a signal to tell Coach Pav to call our other trick play we had. I'm kind of glad he didn't call that play and went with Jade instead.
Jade worked out pretty well.
Yeah, and you guys, so. And one thing a lot of people don't know, you'd practiced that play for quite a while. I mean, it wasn't like it was some last-minute thing that was drawn up on the sidelines. It's a play that you guys had really been working on. And, again, I thought it was a great decision, too. You had to go for the win right there because, you know, you just when you get down to inside the 10, you just don't know who's going to really have the better offense. Buehler was probably built more for a 10-yard burst than probably we were because we were more of a passing team. And you never know. We could have got sacked or something like that. But I thought it was a great call. And it's one of those plays, like Coach Pav says, either I'm going to look like the smartest guy in town or I'm going to get run out of town on the rails. People are going to say, why did you ever do that? But the execution of that play, I mean, Jim and I had no idea. At least I didn't have any idea. But
well, when the bus lined up at quarterback,
yeah,
I was a little thrown off.
Yeah. When Jace Kinnaman lined up at quarterback, we're kind of going, what in the world are we going to do? And when that play... we watched the play develop, and I saw Kyler Hoppus going to the corner of the end zone. I said, all he has to do is catch it. I was worried about the pass in the lights, you know, Hoover's pass, I believe it was, into the lights, as long as he just, you know, didn't lose it in the lights because he was wide open. And then the reaction after the game, you know, I've been covering McPherson High football. This last year was my 39th year of covering McPherson High football. I had never seen a reaction after a play like that. And of course, we were playing at home. And it's just fun to watch the tape of that play, and people are going. In fact, we had some audio, and someone's going, "What was? I can't remember what it was." But someone goes, "They're gonna run They're going to run some kind of pass or something. Somebody in the stands was yelling. We could pick it up on our mic, but it was just a tremendous play and perfectly executed. Of course, it went viral, you know, It went viral immediately. And to beat Buehler twice in 1 year, but this was with the trip to, you know, in the state playoffs on the line. But it's just two wins over Buehler in the same year. That was a great Buehler team, by the way, that you beat.
Yeah, for sure. They were. I mean, they were a team we've grown up playing against, and they've got us the past couple of years, so we really wanted to get their number this year for sure.
We've talked a lot about offense so far, but defense, this was one heck of a defensive unit where you were on the back line as a safety, a couple of pretty good guys in front of you, and Jace Alexander and Colin Gearing in the linebacking core. You look up at that defensive front with Wyatt as well as Khalil Lisbon and Cody Stufflebean. You didn't really have to get all that much action back there because the ball and running plays never really made it into the secondary. How fun was it to be a part of a defense like that?
I mean, it's awesome to be a part of it. It was a senior-led bunch, and it just kind of growing up playing each other, we all trusted each other, and I think that was huge. I mean, like you said, I barely had to do much this year because half the time the plays were made at the line of scrimmage, and just having that trust with each other to – I mean, rely on each other. It was awesome.
And Coach Pav in 2015 just kind of, you know, basically due to injuries for one thing, but about six or seven sophomores wound up starting those last few games of the regular season. And boy, by the time you guys were seniors, it was fun to watch the preseason. We went out and watched the preseason. There was very little coaching that was done. You guys do what you were almost like, 9 or 11 coaches on the field. But to watch that unit, you look at it, it wasn't very big. I mean, Wyatt was like the biggest until Khalil kind of emerged. But Wyatt was about the heaviest guy. He was like, what, 225, 230. But everybody else was 200 or 190. But one common thread was you could all run. And it was just so fast. If there was a mistake made, you guys could run it down. But how much fun was that as a sophomore to start and then just to progress from then on?
I mean, as a sophomore, we might have not known it then, but it definitely helped maturity-wise playing as a sophomore. I mean, I think we had 5 losses that year, and we might have not been enjoying it then, but it definitely helped down the years.
And I think it was, didn't you play the last game at Hayes your sophomore year? If I remember right, wasn't that maybe in a little bit of rain? But that's a game you had to win, I think, to get over the 500 mark and pull that one out in the last minute. But we were saying after the game, God, we've got 7 sophomores starting on defense. What is this defense going to be like in 2 years? Well, we found out what it was going to be like.
I was looking at some of the numbers yesterday. Less than 40 yards per game allowed on the ground. And it was hovering at right around 110 yards per game total. Those numbers are pretty hard to beat, and especially those 40 yards on the ground. And one of the things I know that you guys took a lot of pride in was the first team defense not allowing touchdowns. And you all went through a pretty phenomenal stretch. You allowed a touchdown to end the first half against May South. The first team defense didn't allow another touchdown until the first half against Buehler in week 10. And that was something I know that you and Coach Harlan were all very prideful in, not allowing touchdowns from the first team defense. And that was one heck of a run where you guys didn't force that many turnovers, but you didn't give up very many first downs. It was just all 3 and outs, and you guys were on such a roll that nobody was really going to break through against that defense. It was pretty incredible to watch.
Yeah, like you said, we took a ton of pride in that, and even when it wasn't first-team defense on the field, we expected our younger guys to continue with that. We didn't like when people scored on us, for sure.
Well, they felt like they were insulted, you know, when there'd be a touchdown scored on them. It was like, how did they do that? You know, it really was. But, you know, like I said, I've covered football for 39 years. I had never seen a defense that cohesive, that flew to the ball. I mean, they just very – I don't know how many 10-yard-plus plays they gave up all year. I'm sure.
Not many.
I was going to say, we could go back and look. But there were not – and if they were – they were through the air. But on the ground, I can't remember hardly any long runs on the ground.
We're joined in studio today by former Bullpup Drew Labbert. Is that weird to say?
Yeah, still feels weird.
And we're talking a little bit about the football season. We got to take our first break. When we come back, we want to dive into the basketball season and a very fun run that you guys had all the way to the state championship game. We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Farmer State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
We're back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and joined by the former Bullpup, now Drew Labertue. Still weird to say. As we're wrapping up this football season from the past year, we're going to dive into basketball season here in a moment, but we had Coach Pav on last week, and we were talking about this 2018 season for the Bullpups. Certainly on the offensive side, football-wise, this is a unit that is very experienced and they know what they're doing. Defensively, it's going to take a little work at the beginning and they're going to have to work really hard this fall to get ready to go, but I think you got to feel pretty good about their chances in 2018.
I do. Like you said, their offense is going to be dynamic from the start. They bring back a lot of skill guys and their line's going to figure it out just like we did, and I think they're going to put up a lot of points. And defensively, I think they're going to be fine. I mean, they bring back, the D-line's going to be really good. They may have a couple more guys playing both ways, but I think they can do it. I mean, Chandler Wired, I know, is running free, and he's really smart, really fast. He'll be able to direct that defense, and may take some time, but, yeah, I think they'll be fine in the end.
And of course, the big question mark will be at linebacker, where Jace Alexander and Colin Gearing were just unbelievably dynamic there, but I think maybe Mason Thrash is going to maybe get a look, and I don't know if they're going to move Honesty in the linebacker or kind of keep him back in that, you know, in the secondary. But if Honesty plays linebacker, we know he's going to be pretty good. And I really think the strength of the defense is going to be the line. I think with Stufflebean, Khalil, just, you know, he's a he just keeps getting bigger. Yeah, both those guys. I was trying to remember who the third guy was on the D line when we saw this fall, but I know there's a number of candidates. And I think the D-line could end up being the strength of the team.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, if you have a D-line, that helps a ton. If you're able to pressure the quarterback, it helps the secondary, helps the linebackers. Close running holes, it just makes it that much easier for everyone else.
And, of course, you played in the secondary. Now, that's an area that is really going to have to be rebuilt because, boy, did you have a veteran unit back there. You know, a lot of guys that started for 3 years. But you saw, you know, those guys – last fall in practice, and some of those younger guys that backed you up, what's their potential like?
I mean, like I said, they might have a couple more guys playing both ways, like Gabe Hoover, Chandler Wired, but I think safety-wise, they can get it done. And then Caleb Hoppus will be somewhere on the field. He played a little for us right at the end of the year. And at corner, I know Ben Nickel and Tyson Stice, they were teaching those younger guys every day at practice, and I think they're going to learn, and it might take some time, but they'll get there.
Well, Drew, let's look into the basketball season a little bit. And you and I were talking a little bit before the show started how your unit this past year, even with you coming from the football field, taking a little bit of time, you, Thomas, Jace Alexander, Jace Kinneman,
Cody
Stufflebean, Gabe Hoover, a lot of these, Kyler Hoppus, a lot of these guys that took a little bit more time, that they had to come off the football field, get ready for basketball. But that didn't hurt you guys at all this past year. You dove right in and immediately were playing in big games against the likes of Derby, who is a 6A state tournament team. You play Bishop Miege, who you would go on to play later on in the year. But you had a feeling at the beginning of this senior year for you that this was going to be a special year. And you guys really were one fun team to watch because you were a veteran team and you all played together. And it was very impressive to see how smart you all were on the floor. There weren't a lot of mental mistakes. It didn't take a lot of time to get back into the swing of it. And I think a lot of that was just because you guys had, kind of like what you talked about with football, you had played together for so long. And as a unit, you guys were a unit. And I think that made a big difference in what ended up being a 22-2 season.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, last year, going into last year, there were some question marks. We didn't really know what to expect. But going into this year, we were ready to go. Like, we knew what the expectations were, and we were just ready to go right away.
Well, you had no seniors when you were a junior. So, Coach Kinnaman, of course, you know, you had summer camp, you had summer league. So, I mean, he didn't have, again, it was like Coach Pat, there wasn't a whole lot of teaching. It was more refreshing. And the main thing was developing some depth, because you knew you had the seniors. And then after that, you had a junior class that, quite frankly, other than Jake, you know, was pretty untested. So you had to develop that depth a little bit. But again, one thing that helped, you just dominated Division III. I mean, you were able to get those guys in a lot of playing time. But you played enough tough teams, and plus the McPherson Invitational was just incredible. I know you had to have some great memories from that. But anyway, you guys progressed, and of course, you know, very few close games other than the Andale game, the second, you know, throughout the year, not too many tough games. But anyway, the chemistry, though, everybody knew their role, it seemed like. You didn't seem to care. Thomas didn't seem to care. You guys could have said, well, God, I'd like to score 10 or 12 points. You knew what you were on the floor for. Draw charges, get rebounds, play great defense, make good passes. But it just seemed like everybody had their role, and they accepted it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like football. We've been playing together since we were third graders. I mean, you kind of just form that role as you grow up, and we all knew what our role was, and all we wanted to do in the end was win, so we were willing to do whatever it took.
Is there a moment that stands out to you from this past season where you think back and go, that was the moment that we knew we could win a state championship, that this team was good enough to go all the way? Was there a game that you can think back and go, man, that we were rolling that night?
Honestly, I almost think that game was a loss. That Bishop Miege game.
I've kind of thought that's what you might say.
Even in the loss, after that game, right away in the locker room, we're like, we're good. We're going to be good this year. We're good to go. And we just got to keep doing what we do.
That was a fun night. Even though the end didn't turn out to be quite as fun, what an atmosphere that was at Bishop Miege. And I think that was a good learning point for you as the team, because look what you did after it. You won 21 games in a row, 20 games in a row. From that point on, it was a moment playing in a big stage. And when you guys played Bishop Miege at home 2 years ago, it didn't end very well, and it seemed like it was a pretty non-competitive game from the beginning. But that was a battle in that game at Miege, and I think that prepared you guys for the rest of the season, knowing that's the bar, that's the best of the best, and that you were right there with them.
Yeah, for sure. Even though we couldn't snatch the win the first game, we were sitting there after the game, and we played them within 2 points, and we didn't think anything higher of them or lower of us. We knew we were right there with them and able to compete with the best.
And then, of course, the McPherson Invitational, a couple of really great games. You know, that really, I thought, helped you as the season went along.
Yeah. I mean, the invitation was always an awesome experience. My 3 years I've played in it, I mean, the games during that tournament definitely get you ready for the postseason. And you play against the best every year, and that's can't hurt you in any way.
And one thing that we talked about with Mason and we talked about with Ben whenever we had them on was the sub-state, knowing that Bueller was lurking on the other side. And that we knew you guys were the better team, but that they were a good team as well, and that they gave you two pretty good games in the regular season. And I think Steve and I will tell you, we were nervous.
Yeah.
That was a team that you knew, you'd just seen them so many times. They knew what you were going to do. You knew what they were going to do. But when you guys got into that moment, I think you could tell the team that was ready for that moment, and that you all played such a solid game that night. I think you fouled out of that game, am I right?
Yeah, I did.
You went through a stretch for like 4 games in a row. You picked up 2 cheap fouls in like the first minute and a half of every game. I was telling your dad about it, I remember, during that stretch. Got to keep Drew out of foul trouble in the beginning of those games. But I think you could tell from the very beginning of that one that you all were the better team and that you were not going to let Bueller stand in the way.
Yeah, it's always tough to beat a team 3 times in 1 year. But playing at home versus Bueller our senior year, you just kind of had a feeling we weren't going to let this one slip away, and we were going to do everything we could to come out with a win.
You kind of got your own standing ovation that night because you fouled out. I think there were about 4 minutes left. And because you knew that would be the last time that all the seniors would play there, Jace and Ben and Mason and Thomas all left the floor at the same time, and they got a big ovation. But you kind of got your own one, because maybe you did it intentionally, fouled out of the game on purpose, get your own shiny moment. But what are going to be some of your lasting memories from playing inside the roundhouse and playing as a bullpup?
It's awesome playing in the roundhouse. And, I mean, anytime you're in there, that's a memory itself. But the game I really think back on is the Maze game my junior year.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of my favorite memories. We were the away team in our home gym, and we were down going into the fourth quarter, and we had to make a run. And we made a run and were able to win that game and advance to the championship, where we eventually beat Manhattan, I believe, that right. year.
The game sounded like a shootout, if I remember right, looking at box scores and things like that. What about your memories from state tournaments? Thinking back to just this past year, the Spring Hill game, the Arc City game where you guys had to slug it out with them, the Bishop Miege game in the final. What will you remember the most from this past state tournament?
Nothing beats playing in a state tournament. State championship games are even better. I mean, not many people get the chance to play in one state championship, let alone three. So even those experiences are just something that I'll carry with me for a while.
What about watching the girls come back to beat Bishop Miege in the game in front of you? Were you thinking before you walked on the floor, this is our night, we're going to get it done?
It did feel like it. I mean, we were some of their biggest fans standing under the basket when they were making that late run, and it was awesome to see them able to pull that out.
How would you do in a game of horse with Taylor?
I would not win.
You'd have to dunk.
Probably.
I don't think she can dunk.
Yeah, she's a pretty freaky shooter, and I got to see that on display this past weekend. We've got former bullpup Drew Labertu in studio. Drew, let's take our final break. When we come back, we wrap up some moments from your career as a bullpup and look ahead to what's coming up as a future tiger. I guess it's the opposite of being a dog, being a tiger. We'll wrap this one up. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Farmer State Bank, with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you that are listening on podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports, Jim Joyner, Steve Salen, joined in studio by former bullpup, future Fort Hays State Tiger, Drew Labertu. Drew, I was talking with you before you went on the show about watching your younger brother, younger sister, and making their way up as a bullpup. Hays is close enough that I get the feeling you'll be coming back a lot on Friday nights or whatever day of the week it is to watch Bryson and Lauren. I think both of them have a potential to be pretty good bullpups in their careers.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, with hard work, I think they'll get there eventually.
And I think Bryson, on defense in football this year, I got a feeling he's got a great chance to push for a starting spot. He's not as tall as you are, but he's pretty thick and runs pretty well, and I think linebacker looks like might be his spot.
Yeah, he's a lot stronger than I ever was sophomore year, and I was telling Jim, it's just going to be catching up to speed for him. Going from freshman to varsity, it's a big jump. So I think once he gets caught up with the speed and starts trusting his eyes, I think he could get there.
Think you could take him down in the Oklahoma drill if he lined up right now?
I could still take
him. What about Lauren? You think you could beat her in a game of horse?
Lauren wouldn't give up. She's a competitor, but I think I could beat her in a game of horse.
I think we'll be hearing her name a lot here in the next couple of years with the girls basketball team. Well, Drew, what's the summer look like for you for the rest of the way and getting ready to go out to Hays in August?
I don't have to go to Hays till August, so it's just going to be works. And then I'm working out with Matt College, so that's keeping me in good shape, and probably just continue to do that the rest of the summer.
What are you looking to do when you get to Fort Hays State? What are you looking to major in?
Sports management.
There you go.
And what's your eventual career goal, though?
That's still unclear for me. Maybe somewhere along like an athletic director or something. I've been kind of shadowing Mr. Bacchus at the high school the past couple years, and I think that's something I might be interested in.
He does a pretty decent job, right?
Not bad. He's only been the AD of the year, and about two, different organizations have recognized him. I think he's the KWCA Athletic Director of the Year, and he just got the Kansas Athletic Director of the Year by the Kansas Interscholastic Activities Association.
Well, Drew, we talked about a couple of memories from the basketball season. Do you have any final memories that you'll miss the most about playing at McPherson?
I just think playing in front of the fans with, I mean, some of my closest friends every night. Every time I would step onto the field or the court, it was a memory itself.
Not bad for the showings for the Buehler game, the final Andale game. What were you thinking that final drive of the Andale game, watching the team make their way down the field? I was telling Steve the whole time, you have no doubt that they're going to have a chance to get the ball to the end zone. And you know they would have gone for two, down by seven. What were you thinking through that final drive?
I mean, I think we were all thinking, let's go win it. I mean, why not have one more run in us? And we were ready for it, and unfortunately it didn't go our way. But like you said, the memories made, I mean, they'll be unforgettable.
Pretty fun run this past year, and you were on a couple of pretty good teams. What, 22-2 on the boys basketball team and 10-2 in the football team?
Not bad.
Not very many people get to say they had that type of record in their senior season.
And it's been fun, at least for me, to watch Drew's progression. I mean, I've watched him come up through the middle school ranks, freshman ranks, and then when he got to the high school. So it's fun to watch these kids mature both physically and emotionally. They go from kids to men because Drew's them, you know, these guys are men now. They're out, you know, they're in college, they're men.
He's gonna start taking you down in golf.
Well, he might do that. It doesn't take much these days.
Well, Drew, thanks for coming in. We enjoyed having you on, and I'm sure I'll see you out at the golf course chopping down a tree here pretty soon.
probably gonna go right back out this afternoon and do
that. There you go.
All right, we'll wrap things up for today. Tomorrow will be a short show because of the Royals starting at 12:30 on the radio network, and then Thursday we have also former Bullpup and future Henderson State Ready, Jace Alexander, coming on.
What is a ready?
I don't really know.
Okay.
I think it has something to do with getting ready for war. Or, oh, okay. I don't know. Something weird that happened in Arkansas back in the day. All right, we wrap up today's show. For Drew Labertue and for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Farmer State Bank, with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.